Welcome to the 8th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a national dialogue on homelessness and poverty in America. The toll-free call-in number for this broadcast is 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's the word nobody, followed by the number 8. Or, if you're currently, recently, or about to be homeless, you may also call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. Is it different being homeless when you're bi, lesbian, gay, or transgendered? How have Bush's faith-based initiatives affected the homeless BLGT population? How are they treated in shelters, jails, and on the streets? What do they have to do to survive? We'll hear some straight talk from homeless queers right after this.
Global Exchange is a human rights organization in San Francisco which focuses on U.S. and corporate policies and stopping abuses within those institutions. I asked Media Benjamin, the co-founder, about the global dimensions of homelessness.
Well, at Global Exchange, we have since our beginnings looked at the issues of inequalities both globally and nationally. With an understanding that you can't have a planet in which there's 2 billion people that live on less than a dollar a day in some of the most extreme conditions imaginable, while you have people who are billionaires. It isn't right, it isn't fair, it isn't humane, and we have been fighting for a more just distribution of the world's resources since our beginnings.
What has Global Exchange done to change inequitable policies?
Well, we've been calling for a cancellation of the debt of the poorest countries in the world. We've been calling nationally for a significant reduction in military spending, including an end to the occupation of Iraq that would free up billions of dollars to be used for things like affordable housing here at home. We have been focusing on the international financial institutions like the World Bank, the IMF, the World Trade Organization, that give all privileges to large corporations and take away the abilities of local communities to decide their own priorities economically. And we try to change the balance of power so that local communities can keep the money in the community, whether it's fighting against a Walmart coming in and sucking the money out of the community and destroying local businesses, or fighting so that governments can determine their own policies and not have them determined by international institutions that don't look out for the needs of the poorest.
What's one of the latest projects you're working on?
I was just on a mission with parents who had lost their children as soldiers in Iraq, going to take humanitarian aid to people who have been made homeless by the U.S. Policies in Iraq. Recently, the U.S. destroyed the entire town of Fallujah, a town of 300,000 people, leaving the vast majority of those people as refugees. And so we brought over $600,000 of aid to those refugees with a clear message that the U.S. should stop destroying people's homes and livelihoods in a place like Iraq and instead bring the troops home and use the $270 million we're spending every day in Iraq to improve people's lives in this country.
What can the United States do differently to address the problem of homelessness?
We are spending so much on destruction, and as Martin Luther King said, that a country that spends more on weapons than it does on social uplift is reaching spiritual death. I think we're moving in that direction in this country. We spend $400 billion a year on the military, and that's not counting the many, many billions we're spending on the war in Iraq. We should look at the issue of national security in its multi-dimensions and recognize that one of the ways to build a secure nation is to make sure that our own citizens are housed, that our own citizens have health care, that our own citizens have access to decent education and jobs. And that should be part of the definition of national security.
Media Benjamin spoke with us from the San Francisco office of Global Exchange. For the Homelessness Marathon, I'm Jessica Lockhart.
Bienvenidos a Nueve Mexico. This is Rogie Riverstone broadcasting from KUNM Albuquerque. Welcome to Kicked Out Queers. My co-host tonight is Dominic Zerlo. He's a crisis manager with
Harm Reduction Specialist.
Thank you. It's so official. With Healthcare for the Homeless here in Albuquerque. We're also joined by several guests, some of whom come from Youth in Transition Incorporated, which is advocacy, crisis intervention, outreach, everybody's giving high fives and singing and shouting, shelter and case management for Albuquerque gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender homeless youth and straight youth and young adults ages 14 to 24. Let's see, my guests tonight include China. Say hey, China.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good so far. And Quinn.
Yeah, hey.
And we have Ray.
What's up?
We have Scooby.
What's up?
How you doing? And we have Dominique.
Hi.
And we have Janice.
Hello.
Hi. Well, nice to see everybody. Well, first thing I would like to do is let people know that there aren't a whole lot of facilities available in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as is the trend across the nation, for lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, and transsexual homeless people. There are some facilities for youth in various locations across the country in the United States. It's even worse in international communities. I just read an article recently about people forming a shelter on Castro in San Francisco and the flack they got from some of the property owners on Castro. This was a 15-bed facility for homeless queer youth, and they got flack from queer property owners for wanting to put it on the Castro instead of in the Tenderloin in the really nice neighborhood of town, which is a great place to put a queer kid, because they were concerned about their property values. So not only is there a lot of problems with homophobia and heterosexism in the so-called straight community, but there seems to be a little bit of problem among our fellow queers. Dominic, bless his heart, works with homeless people here in Albuquerque, and I'll let him introduce himself and give you some of his rap.
My name is Dominic Zerlo. Thank you, Rogie. And I work at Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless at the Harm Reduction Outreach Center, and we do drop-in as well as outreach in a van to folks on the street. And now, while most of the folks that we work with are heterosexual, we do deal and work with a lot of folks who are also gay and lesbian. Most of them do not come out when they're involved in the outreach, and it takes a while to get to know them because the persecution that they face on the street is such that they don't want to come out and they don't want to be open, and it takes quite a while before we're able to go ahead and gain their trust. And so that's one of the things that we really try to do and instill in people, is the fact that we're there to help them and that they can trust us. And that takes a long time because of the abuses that they go through.
Well, I know the trouble I had trying to get panelists for this broadcast, because it's hard enough to be homeless, but to also be homeless and queer and to come out on a national radio broadcast is a little, I got to give you people props. Thank you very much. It took a lot of courage to be here tonight, and I do appreciate your participation. We have a caller from Salt Lake City. We have Carolyn on the line.
Hi, this is Caroline, and I
have
a call at a time that might not be pertinent to your particular topic, but it certainly is inclusive of the people in the topic that you're speaking on. I'm concerned with the solutions rather than the problems. And we have just completed a pilot project in Salt Lake City that was done also several years ago in Baltimore. 70 people participated that were homeless, and within 2 weeks they had homes and jobs. And this is a training that's taught to the public, and they usually pay anywhere up to a few hundred to $1,000 or more dollars. And so what we did as lecturers is we brought this, at not at a profit, to the homeless for no charge, because if someone who is just wanting to raise their income, they're wanting to improve their lifestyle, they're wanting to have a better home, have better health, they use these techniques. By taking them to the homeless, they have the same advantage. They just don't have to pay for them like the general public does. And so what I'm concerned to make sure that the public is aware of is that there are programs that are focused on solutions. And the solutions, not starting with the government, not with the state, not with any particular politics, but with an individual, with what one individual, one lecturer, one speaker, one trainer, and volunteers can do. Much the same in Salt Lake City when we had the Olympics. Thousands and thousands of people volunteered, and it was the volunteer effort that made that Olympics very successful. The volunteer effort comes from the people that are part of the public, just like the homeless. And anyone that knows the Harvard Business Study knows that only 3% of the population are financially independent, and they have clearly defined written goals and a plan to implement them.
Carolyn, let me ask you, you're in Salt Lake City, and I know there is a particular religion that's pretty dominant out there. How is the reception for these types of programs for gay, lesbian, transgendered, and bisexual youth?
That's very interesting that you would even ask, because as people came in the door, I didn't care, nor ask, nor have any idea, and it wouldn't matter. And so I certainly wouldn't prevent anyone from coming. The criteria is, are you homeless, and can you use a hand?
Awesome.
And can you use a hand to teach you to fish? This is not a handout, it's a hand up.
Awesome.
And so it's not limited to anyone, and there certainly wouldn't be, it'd be no more limited because their hair's long or their fingernails are dirty, whether they're girl, boy, or think they're a girl or think they're a boy, or any persuasion. So that has nothing to do with any religion. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much for participating.
It's inclusive, not exclusive.
The phone numbers here, if you would like to call in, are 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's 1-877-NOBODY-8. And if you're homeless and would like to call in, the number is 1-866-LEFT-OUT. That's 1-866-LEFT-OUT. So give us a call and let us know what it's like out there in the streets in February. Let's see. Dominic, I wanted to ask you about your the people that you work with. You came here tonight with two folks. Are they clients, former clients of yours?
Well, I'm going to let them tell their stories for themselves. I would like to have China start with it. China, go ahead and tell us about what your life has been like the last few years and where you're at now.
Okay, that's Hi, I'm China, and I got out of prison. I was homeless out here on the streets for a year. Thanks to the Harm Reduction Center, I've been able to lift myself up. I'm now in a house, but it wasn't easy. I've been a prostitute. I've been out on the streets doing tricks, making a way to have a place to sleep, to have a roof over my head. It's not fun. It's not glamorous, nothing like that, but it's a life. I mean, it kept me fed. I've probably done every drug in the book when I was out there on the strip, just making my way. I mean, I look like a bitch, but I'm all male, and I let everybody know when the tricks pick me up, I let them know, are you aware I'm male? I just tell them straight up that, you know, I'm male. I'm a male prostitute. And I do everything a woman can do except give birth. Thanks. But,
China, what about some situations you've had, like maybe in shelters?
I've never been to the shelters. I mean, that's one thing I've never been because, I mean, I don't like that many people around me. But, I mean, out on the strip having situations, I mean, I've had guns pulled on me from tricks wanting me to get in their car and saying, you're going to, and I tell them, you are a male. I'll pull the gun away from him and I'll beat him up. I mean, that's nothing because I'm male. I've had women pull up to me and pull knives on me thinking they're going to rob me. please, you're just a girl. I can't hit you, but I can take your equipment away from you and push you out of the car. It's not fun. I mean, it's a rough life when you're out there homeless. But like I say, hoe got to get paid, and we got to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Quinn, how about yourself?
Well, my name is Quinn Williams, and I just like to let everybody out there know that the streets is no place to be, and I got out on the streets by losing my job, and I started going to harm reduction about a year ago, and it's helped me out a lot. I mean, Dominic and all the staff has helped me out. I got my place to stay, and I'm still looking for a job, you know, but I mean, it's just, I mean, I've seen things out there happen to gay people that really shouldn't happen, you know, but it does. Like, I've had friends turn away from shelters because of their sexual orientation, and it's not right. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, we're living in a society to where they're always talking about they want to teach tolerance, they want to help other countries, but they don't want to help the people here at home, you know. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, we should all stop helping those people over there and start helping the people here at home. You know, my grandfather was a cold talker. He didn't get his award until 40 years after the war was over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't get recognized for what he'd done. You know, my father was one of the first black engineers in the state of New Mexico. And all he's got out of it was a picture. I mean, but to not to really get off the subject, we should stop looking at people for what they want to be in life and start helping people for who they are, where they want to go, what they want to do with their lives, and not just say, well, you're not of this religion, you're not of this, you know, the Bible says this, the Bible says that about what's right and what's wrong. How do we know what the Bible says? Because it's been rewritten so many times, we don't know. We're lost in the translation. So I'm just saying, stop looking at people for their sexual orientation and start helping people, because even a miracle needs a hand.
That's right. That's right. You bring up a good point about so-called religious intolerance. Something that's really concerning me recently in Bush's new budget, he's cutting a lot of social service programs, including Medicaid, women, infants, and children, the food supplemental thing, the housing. It's, I mean, all across the board he's cutting it. And yet, there's all this money set aside for the faith-based initiatives, which means private religious organizations, so-called charities, are getting federal tax money, and they can discriminate in hiring based on their religious beliefs. And they can also run their shelters and their food pantries and their whatnot any way they want. And so those of us who are a lesbian couple with some kids, you go into a women's shelter, a family shelter, and the biological or legal guardian, as the state sees it, custodian of the children can come in with the kids, and the other partner is just left out. I'm going to remind people to call in again. The number here is 1-877-NOBODY-8 if you'd like to participate in our conversation. If you're homeless and would like to participate, our number here is 1-866-LEFT-OUT. Let's see. Now, we have some coughing people over here from Youth in Transition. I'll wait for you, Ray, and let you get your thing together. Would you like some more water, hon? Okay. All right. We have with us from Youth in Transition Ray and Scooby and Nene, who's not going to be on the broadcast. She just wants to play with her carnival beads. Scooby, let's see. You're hanging out at Youth in Transition because?
Because it's the only place that I have to go that no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter what kind of person I am, I'm loved unconditionally no matter what. And that's why I go there.
That hasn't been true at school?
No.
That hasn't been true in your home?
Nope. My mom and I have some issues.
Some serious issues, apparently.
Yeah.
Does your sexual orientation have anything to do with that?
Yeah.
What is your sexual orientation?
I'm bisexual.
Uh-huh.
I like both men and women.
You were telling me before the broadcast that you were living with a boyfriend, and mm-hmm. that ended up
costing you a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah, he's actually my son's dad. We lived together since I was 16 until last January, and he taught me how to do some pretty bad stuff, and I went to jail. So that's where I...
Is your kid okay?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. He's perfect.
And you hooked up with this guy and moved in with him?
After my mom kicked me out, after I graduated high school.
Uh-huh. And so you got into some kind of nefarious stuff.
Yeah.
You regret it?
No, actually I don't. I regret getting in trouble, but I don't regret that part of my life.
Because you took care of yourself.
Yep, yeah. I did what I had to do.
I hear you. How about you, Ray? What's up with you? How come you hanging out YIT?
Probably because it's the only place there is to go. And there's like really, really cool people there. Like they don't discriminate on you no matter who you are, no matter what you did. They don't look at your past. They look at who you are as a person in the inside. And they all love you no matter what.
How long have you been away from your parents?
Since I was 12, off and on. They tried to reunite us and it didn't work. I was in state custody, in and out of shelters. I've been to like 36 different placements. Then finally they decided to throw me in rehabs and jails.
Pretty nasty, huh?
Yeah.
When did you come out? When did you decide you were a lesbian?
Well, I came out as bi when I was like 15, but I really wasn't bi.
Did people hassle you over it?
Not really.
Well, you don't seem like the kind that would let people hassle you over it.
Nope.
Not so much, huh? Not so much. Are people being good to you out there now? YIT doesn't give you any hassle about this, do they?
No, now that I'm lesbian, now I came out as lesbian and nobody cares over there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to nobody.
Good model for other places that deal with queer youth, huh?
It's a great place to go.
Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, now in the back behind Dominic is Dominique. Yo, Sister Fran.
Hi.
I see you back there.
Okay.
Dominique called me one day. She'd heard about me through a friend of a friend, and she just called me up and said, I want to tell my story. So hit it, girl.
Well, I left home when I was about 13. Some situations at home that caused me to run. So I ran, and I ran to the streets. And like China, I ran, I started, tricking the drugs, hardcore, just doing whatever I had to do to survive on the streets. I ended up getting to, picking up some drug charges, a lot of prostitution charges, and I was just really strung out on cocaine and heroin for a long time. And the light went on about 2 years ago, where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I was always listening to the messages from society, from, family, or from whoever, thinking that I wasn't good enough, and I always settled for second best. And a light went on about 2 years ago saying, the only one who's going to change your life is you. You can't depend on the system. You can't depend on a man. You can't depend on your family. You have to depend on yourself if you want to change your life around. You have to put out those messages that people are putting at you, that you're no good because you're either gay, lesbian, or transsexual. You got to put out those messages that you're not good enough or whatever, and just, grab life by the horns before it passes you by.
Dominique, I need to interrupt you for a minute because we have a caller, and we'll go back to your story in a minute, okay? We have George on the line from Connecticut. George, you're breaking up.
Yeah, am I breaking up?
Oh, there you are. Hi, hon.
Yeah, I turned
go
my
ahead.
Radio off.
Okay, cool.
I was listening to you, and I just think that somebody back there said something, and they were trying to say the content of the character. That's what we need to be looking at. I really do wish that more people would view the fact, get out of the biblical thing there, and start looking and saying, if more hymophilic people came out, I throw that back. I grew up in the religious Bible Belt, and I throw that back at them all the time and say, you've just chastised everybody that's been born with two sexes because they're, in so many eyes, ignorant eyes, in my opinion, that they're not looking at the content of the character. People need to become more educated to the fact that the human race is the human race. This is what we've got. Let's deal with it.
Right on.
Let's make it a better place for everybody. You know,
I think
go ahead.
I think part of the problem is that people forget one of the, I'm speaking now to the Christian fundamentalists, although there are all kinds of fundamentalists. But to the Christian fundamentalists, I think they have forgotten that their Savior said, whatsoever you do unto the least of these, that you do also unto me. And before folks start looking down their noses at other people for not being like them, I think they need to remember that it was their Savior who said that. That's the first commandment, honey.
He also said, judge not lest ye be judged.
Right on.
You know, and it just goes back to, we have to educate ourselves and live by those principles. If that's what you're going to live by, then you have to live by the whole thing, not half the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen so many people that are in the gay world that are just fantastic people that are not accepted because of ignorance. And there's so much, you know, how many people came out now that were from, like, the Vietnam era? Generals have come out and talked. Admirals have come out and talked. And, you know, they protected their retirement, and they're out now, and they're saying it. You know, don't talk, don't tell is probably a good policy. It'll have its purpose in this time and day and age. But in the year 2050, what's it going to be? I mean, we have to learn to accept, you know, and stop. I mean, it's the boundaries aren't just homosexuality. It's disabilities. It's everything. Look how many people have so much to offer but are chastised because they can't, because somebody says, oh, you can't do that. Look how many people on a disability are trying to say, I can't. Just bear with me. You know, I don't know anybody that's ever introduced themselves to me as, hi, I'm John Doe or Jane Doe. I'm heterosexual. You know,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. No, I wish they had to.
I'm just saying, you know, how many times have you met somebody who said, I'm Jane Doe or John Doe, and I'm heterosexual? You know, you don't have to identify with anything. I mean, and the sad thing is the people that just jump on the bandwagon. There's so many people out here. It just boils down to self-respect. You're not going to respect other people. You're not going to respect yourself either.
That's
and we
true.
Can make this a whole better place. I really do think we can. It's a shame that people are thinking backwards. You know, we're driving on radials, but we're working with a stone wheel.
It's true.
And George, you bring up a good point. It's about taking care of each other. I mean,
That's
what
right.
kinds of messages are we sending out to people? I mean, just to give you an example, 50% of all gay and lesbian youth are rejected by their parents due to their sexual orientation.
I know.
And 26% of all gay and lesbian youth end up leaving home because of conflicts with their parents over their sexual orientation. That's huge
right.
numbers of people. You know, and what kind of message are we sending when we're saying to our kids, get out. That's not okay.
That's right.
When you
That's
think
right.
about it, you'd think that the Republican administration would be much more into eliminating heterosexism and homophobia, because when you look at the stats of how many homeless people are queer and got thrown out because they were queer, it would save the American taxpayer a heck of a lot of money in jail cells and hospital beds and all the junk that goes along with being homeless. Am I telling the truth?
Been there, done that.
If we could just live and let live and not be messing with folks this way, we would save boku bucks. My gosh, we could have another war. I'm kidding.
We could.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, sir. Sorry.
Your terminology is hard and radical. You know, it can be almost offensive, but, you know, I wouldn't, you know, if we can get rid of a lot of drop the terminologies, a lot of them, you know, there's no sense in screaming queer on everything. You know, I grew up in the racial riots in the South as a child, and I saw so much hate back then. And the same thing now with the homosexual thing. It's, you know, I don't know. There's doctors, lawyers, there's everybody out there. There's people out there that are gay and proud. And they just, you know, they keep it to themselves. And some are ashamed or afraid. Fear of reprisal is a big thing. And it's sad. In the workforce, just that man, he was right when he said the thing about, you know, you put into the system, you're going to get out of the system. If we support one another in this world, stop preaching hate stuff, you know, we're going to get a lot. I think we're going to get a stronger America in a better way. It's just,
yeah, it takes too much energy.
People act different because they are different. And could you imagine every flower in the world looking the same color? It would be a pretty. It wouldn't be so nice, would it?
Nope.
Yep. So. Thanks,
George.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being supportive. I really do appreciate your call.
Hey, I'm glad I found the radio station. Pretty good. You know, I wish you could go like NPR or something, because, you know, people need to hear it. They need to hear that people are people. We are real. People are real. You know, no matter what your walk in life is, as long as you're not hurting people, you know, as long as you're not harming people.
I need to tell other people how to call in now, George. If you want to call this broadcast, you need to dial 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's 1-877-NOBODY-8. Just find it on the buttons. I know you can figure it out. If you're homeless and you would like to call, please dial 1-866-LEFT-OUT. That's 1-866-LEFT-OUT. Dominique, I'd like to go back to your story because I think your story is very interesting.
No problem.
Where did we leave off?
We left off by, I picked up a felony due to being on the streets, dealing drugs, doing whatever I had to do to run, because that's basically what I was doing since I was 13, was just running from myself, from not accepting who I was as a transsexual, listening to the messages from people that I was wrong, that I was evil, you know, whatever. So I ran for years. I ran, and I was running for myself.
How old are you now, Dominique?
I'm 27. I just turned 27 in January. Mm-hmm. And I was on the streets for about 11 years.
Yes.
11 years. It was hell. It was, you know, it was like a slow suicide for many years.
So when you picked up the felony, is that when things started to shift?
I think so. And it hit me because... no disrespect towards China, but I knew people like China who went to prison and did the prison thing. And because I was in county jails for a lot of years. And I was always like, okay, I'm going to straighten my act up. I never wanted to go to prison. So when I was facing prison time, I really, you know, a light went on. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to stop running from myself. So I ended up joining a program called Delancey Street Foundation. And that program is one of the hardest programs, I think, in the United States. That's what they say. As soon as I got to that program, they shaved my head, took all my clothes away, and put me to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a reality check, because it wasn't about what my hair looked like. It wasn't about if I was gay. It was about whether I'm going to be a responsible person, respect myself, learn to love myself, and, you know, and the same to others.
And show up for your own life.
Yeah, and take responsibility for my life. Because for many years, I was just running, like I said before. So I was in that program for a little bit. I was there for about 11 months. It's actually a two-year program, but I ended up leaving. Delancey Street said they accepted me for everything I was. But, you know, eventually they frowned upon me because I was so femme. And so, you know, I was just me. I ended up leaving, and as soon as I left, I turned myself into my probation officer, and I had to do 2 months in jail. I got out, and now I'm currently in the drug court program in Albuquerque here in New Mexico, and I'm doing fine with that. Haven't violated. In April, I have 2 years clean and sober. So it's not
congratulations.
Like, yeah. It was disappointing that I had to leave the Delancey Street program, but I wasn't about to compromise who I am for them.
Did Delancey require that?
Delancey Street frowned upon gay, lesbian, and transsexual lifestyle.
That's a darn shame.
They
did. It's a good program.
It's a great program. It taught me a lot, and it, you know, I'll remember it forever. But I'm at the point in my life where I just want to be who I am.
I hear you.
And I had to be who I was. So it was either, you know, compromise who I am or just keep on going in there, which was killing me. So I ended up leaving. I didn't use. I didn't do, you know, go out there and do what I was doing before. I turned myself in, got into the drug court program, and I'm doing fine.
Awesome.
I'm planning on getting my own apartment in a couple weeks. I have a bank account. I have sobriety under my belt.
You have a job.
I have a job.
And everybody there accepts you as a woman.
And they do.
Girlfriend, right on.
They accept me as a woman. They accept me, you know, for who I am. And it's, for so many years, I was so scared of what people would think or what, you know, my family would think. And sure, they still have some reservations.
Well.
Which is, I think, just
That's just a matter of time.
That's just how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be people who have opinions. I have my opinions. They have theirs. But I know where my heart is, where my mind is, and where I'm going.
Good for you.
So.
Good for you. We have another caller. Her name is Tanya. She's in Waterbury, Connecticut. She is formerly homeless, and she is in danger of possibly being homeless again. Is that correct, Tanya?
Yes, it is. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
No problem.
My neighbor called about an hour or so ago and spoke with another host that was hosting the show. What you're doing is such a wonderful thing. Many people don't seem to realize how serious this problem actually is. I came from the type of home, middle class America. My family were young and they tried, had a family and was trying to take care of us. My mother fell into drugs and I fell into drugs and so on and so forth. And I have been on my own since I was 14 years old, in and out of institutions, homeless. I've lived in the shelter in Torrington. I've lived in the shelter in Waterbury, St. Vincent's. I've lived in the shelter in Danbury. I've lived in the woods in Bantam. When I was 15, as a matter of fact, I lived in the woods in Bantam for 3 months in my tent because I was 15 and I didn't know how to take care of myself. I got hooked into drugs. I'm proud to say that I'm currently 2 years and 3 months on next Tuesday clean and sober by the grace of God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's only because there is people, underpaid people who there's not enough money in the world to pay them for what they have done for me and many other people in Waterbury and around the United States of America.
Lots of heads are nodding in the studio right now about underpaid people.
That my workers, I'm not going to say their names because I don't know if I'm allowed to, but they're part of the homeless initiative team through the Department of Mental Health and the Morris Foundation, which is coincide with each other. They got me. I was my first 3.5 months clean was in the shelter in Waterbury, which was hell. But I did it. And they got me into my own apartment. They set me up into programming. I was so busy for the first year, I didn't have time to think about using, and I didn't know how to live. That was the biggest part of my homelessness. I did not know how to take care of myself. And there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, yeah, right, come on, it's just another junkie, blah, blah, blah. I became a junkie when I started drinking when I was 9 years old. I became a junkie at 14. I didn't know it's what I knew. I didn't know anything else until I was taught. And I was taught by the homeless outreach team. And we're in danger of losing our homeless outreach team. That's insane because the amount of homelessness in Waterbury, Connecticut alone, the numbers are skyrocketing. We only have, when this building that I'm in now has 12 apartments, it's about to be sold. We don't know where we're going, and there's only one other building left in Waterbury to house the homeless. We're losing homeless people under the bridges as we speak. They're dying. They live in tents, and they never wake up. But the Richies are sitting up in their houses eating their ducks and their quail and God knows what. Their calamari and blah, 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 while people are out there freezing to death, eating cat food out of a can, lighting and heating it up with a lighter.
Yep.
Yeah, their fingertips are falling off from freezing and hypothermia and frostbite, and it makes me sick. And, before I quit my babble, I'm curious, I've been listening to the program for a few hours, and I haven't heard any websites or any information. What can we, do? I'm in schooling. I'm in college now, trying to better myself to help myself and society. I want to be a productive member of society to help people. What can I do now, and what can I voice to other people that are in my position trying to better their lives to try to help change this? Who do we talk to? Where do we go? What do we do?
Tanya, this is not self-promotion, but before this broadcast, I researched some internet sites, and if anybody's looking for a way to connect and hook up around the country, I found some good links. And if you will go to rriverstone.com, that's rriverstone.com, the very top link on my website is a list of links for homeless people and for queer people so they can hook up and start doing some stuff to get themselves out from under. Now, I'm not going to promise you that every link is going to be valuable to every person. I'm not going to promise you that they're not just going to throw up their hands and say, we don't know what to do, because grants and money are being cut. Funding is being cut. We have a Native American college here that just lost dozens of scholarships because federal funding was cut, and unemployment on the reservations here is 90%.
This is our money. This is our money. Now, I'm working now, and there's plenty of others. This is our money. Where is our money to take care of us?
It's in Iraq, honey.
Yeah, I know, and it makes, it's, and all, we're losing all of our boys and girls over there, too, and it makes me sick. But
yeah,
what
and
you're doing
come,
is wonderful, and I am, and, thank God for people like you to be on the air and let others know what, how much of a crisis this really is in our own home, one of the richest countries in the world. That's sick.
Well, I say let's go back to a war on poverty instead of a war on the poor.
You're right about that.
We have another caller, Stacy. Let me give out the phone numbers, too. Thank you for, Tanya, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
The
God
numbers
bless.
Same to you. The numbers here are 1-877-NOBODY-8. That's 1-877-NOBODY-8. If you're homeless, please call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. That's 1-866-LEFT-OUT. Now we have Stacy, I think, from East Haven, Connecticut. Is that correct, Stacy?
That is correct.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Apparently everybody here is, too.
Oh, thank
what do you,
you
have to contribute?
You know what? I would like to say a couple of things. One, I spoke earlier on behalf of Columbus House in East, New Haven, Connecticut.
Yes.
And I want to thank Allison Cunningham and Bill Johnston for providing me with the resources. I've been through homelessness, and I currently have my own apartment that I've been in for 2 years, and it's because they helped me. And I think a lot of people, people across the country should model themselves out of Columbus House in New Haven, because they are so beneficial in what they do in helping people. And what I spoke of earlier is dual diagnosis, because that's what I know. I was afforded the opportunity, I was granted a scholarship to go to a national convention in the year 2001, I think it was, if I'm correct, to go to a homelessness conference in Washington, D.C., and the basis for that was for dual diagnosis. And that, because I know that, that's what I speak of. But let me tell you, there are so many reasons for homelessness, and one of the reasons is people that make minimum wage cannot afford to live by themselves.
That's true.
$7.10 an hour, you cannot afford to live by yourself.
Stacy, do you know that Walmart personnel are instructed in their local communities where the local food stamps offices are and other government programs so that Walmart associates can get food stamps?
I am so sorry to cut you off, but yes, being in New Haven, Connecticut, we have a paper here called The Advocate. And The Advocate very much exemplified the fact that Walmart employs people and they do not give them benefits or anything. And these people are employed, but yet they have to avail themselves to, local opportunities to pay their whatever it is they need.
Yep.
You know?
I have another call coming in, Stacy.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling, and you're absolutely right. You know, it's a funny thing. George Bush.
I'm only reporting what I heard as far as through the papers, you know?
Yeah.
But someone making $7.10 an hour cannot afford housing.
Nope. Not most places.
There is no way that anyone making minimum wage can afford themselves housing. And that's the
right.
bottom line.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Stacey. I really do appreciate it. George Bush, in a recent press conference, said that he wants this country to be, and I quote, an ownership culture, which scared the snuggies out of me, because the last time people were talking about owning people, we had a civil war over it. So, but I'm feeling pretty owned right now. We have Kate on the line from Pima County, Arizona. Hi, Kate.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are
I'm
you?
Sorry. I'm excited to get off work.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I heard what you were saying about the whole ownership issue and about how everyone was talking about morality. And I have kind of an issue that came up this election year about how everyone was so concerned about morality. And I was wondering what happened to ethics in it.
What happened to what? I'm sorry, I didn't...
Oh, I'm sorry, the ethics in it. Here they are so concerned about morality. But how can we ethically deny people the right to marry? Whether
that's
they're
a good point.
Gay, bi, or heterosexual.
Well, I'm thinking that this is going to seem pretty ridiculous to even fundamentalists in 50 years, because fundamentalists right now are feeling kind of silly for having created laws in certain states that... multiracial couples couldn't get married, and right now they're kind of saying, oh, well, that is so such an antiquated concept. I have a feeling in about 50 years they're going to have pie on their faces over this one, too, because it is pretty darn silly.
Well,
and I
I'm
thank you for bringing it up.
Well, yeah, my fiancé and I, we're a heterosexual couple, and we live in Pima County, where it's a civil union state, and it has been for many years, actually. And I remember bringing it up to him in support of our gay community. What about the possibility of a civil union instead of a quote-unquote marriage? So I thought it was an interesting idea.
I think it is, too. It would be an interesting form of protest if all heterosexuals refused to get married and wanted to have a civil ceremony instead. Maybe that would endanger marriage to the point where they might start to get the idea that the real threat to marriage is not... what are we, 10% of the population? I think the real threat to marriage is heterosexuality, probably. They're the ones getting married and divorced.
Well, and that's very true. There's such a high ratio of divorcees that are heterosexual. So.
And that's because there's no support systems in place to actually appreciate and respect and celebrate relationships. Again, I'm back to whatsoever you do unto the least of these. If we can't support heterosexual marriage in this country, how the heck are we going to support anybody else?
That's very true. That's very true.
So thank you very much for calling, Kate. I've got people in here raising their hands, and I'd better listen to them because they're getting feisty. Yeah, Scooby.
That just reminded me of a joke. What's the number one cause in this country for divorce?
What?
Marriage.
There you go. See? Somebody said and made a joke. I don't know who it was. Some stand-up comedian said, I'm all in favor of gay marriage. Let them suffer like the rest of us. The numbers here are 1-877-NOBODY-8. And if you're homeless, please call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. I'm going to cough. Does anybody else want to take over while I get over the flu?
Well, I'll go ahead and take over for you, Rogie. So, China, you keep sitting here looking like you want to talk. What do you want to say?
Oh, I mean, every time somebody comes on the air, they seem to, like, steer off the issue. We're queer and we're here, you know what I'm saying? And everybody just wants to, like, steer across religious issues and everything like that. I'm just saying, damn it, like, they want to help the tsunami victims over there. I say, hell with them. I said, let them help us homeless homosexuals out here, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, we're queer and we're here and we need help too, you know what I'm saying?
So the problem is that people don't understand that it's a serious issue. And it's fine to donate to the tsunami victims as long as we're taking care of what's going on in our backyard too.
Yeah, but they don't take care of the backyard. They take care of everything that's happening there instead of their own front yard.
Well, it's harder to get dirty when you're donating money 10,000 miles away than it is to hand out a dollar bill to the guy in the alley.
Okay.
You know, that's the thing. As long as we can keep it, let's form a committee. Okay, so we can analyze it to death, and then we'll throw a few $100,000 at it as long as it's way over there. But if you're in my backyard, I'm calling the cops on you.
Like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, China, what needs to be done?
I can really tell you what needs to be done. I know the government needs to get off their asses and feed the homeless people in their own community, whether you're gay, lesbian, whatever, and, I mean, help their own back door before they go help somebody else's back door.
I think it'd be cool if we had more things like community gardens so people could grow their own food and it's not full of like genetically modified organisms and all their kinds of cooties that'll make you sick. And it would be really cool to have empty lots that were full of flowers and food rather than beer bottles and people's works and poop.
I want money instead of flowers and food.
Yeah, but it's job training.
I work for a living too. No, I work for a living too. I remodel houses and everything. So I'm doing.
Okay. Tell me what your favorite part of the job is.
Demolition.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's tear down a wall. Believe that. I mean, I may look like a bitch, but I work harder than most men. Trust me.
Me too.
Now, Quinn, you wanted to say something there.
Yeah, I'd like to say. Why don't all these people who are against the homeless and gay people and stuff, why don't you guys for just one day, put yourself in our shoes. Try to walk in our moccasins for 1 mile and see what we go through. I'm willing to bet you'll have a different opinion at the end of that day.
You know, I had this great idea. You know that show Survivor?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I said they ought to do? They ought to take a bunch of upper middle class people, able-bodied, young, healthy people, give them, this is really giving them something, give them $500 cash, and that's all. No cell phones, no nothing. Put them in the middle of the war zone in Albuquerque and say, stay alive for 1 month.
It'll never happen.
Am I lying? Now, wouldn't that be a reality show?
They might make it for a week.
Oh, I don't even know about that.
I live in the war zone.
I used to live in the war zone, I know.
It's like Paris and Nikki coming to Albuquerque for an internship is I don't know, something in the war zone. They'd never make it.
They'd become crack hoes quick.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
Or they'd become somebody's pet.
Probably.
Chained up in the basement. We have another caller. Freeman, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Where are you calling from? I didn't get that.
Cambridge, Massachusetts, right next to Boston.
Nice and cold. What can I do for you?
Yeah, that happens. Oh, well, this isn't so much about what's to be done for me. I'm kind of hearing people ask this question, you know, what can we do, what can we do? In addition to the fact that we've got to make these reforms about how we deal with the homelessness issue that I think a lot of people are making good comments about, there are direct, simple things that we can do as individuals. I carry extra hats in my car or with me, you know, and you can do things to help people out. Like if you come across a bunch of food, you can directly try to help these people. I mean, in Cambridge, we have homeless people all over the place. And, you know, you don't have to give people money, but you can give them all kinds of other things to try to just help them survive the day. Gloves, hats, coats, blankets, the sorts of things that a lot of people are throwing out every day. And if I could propose something really crazy, somewhere it was said that charity begins at home. Why is it? I guess I know why it is, but maybe we could challenge ourselves to try to get over our fears and actually just invite somebody in on a cold night to sleep on the floor. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to write a check to get the homeless people out of the way so they don't have to see them.
Yep.
Not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. You got that right. You know, I used to pick trash. I don't do it anymore, but I used to pick trash in the Knob Hill community, which is down, for those of you who are not from here, it's around the university and fancy little coffee shops and nice little toy stores and, you know, get your little tchotchkes and piss away a lot of money on garbage. And I also used to trash pick over in the war zone because when people there get evicted, they leave with the shirts on their backs and the landlords throw out all their stuff. I mean, I've found people's wedding photographs, photographs of grandma's tombstone, confirmation dresses, photo albums. They just leave and they have to leave everything. They're not even allowed to have their memories. And I would find dozens of blankets. I've even found those fancy Nike shoes that Michael Jordan used to sell. You know, those bouncy shoes that everybody wants. I used to find the most exquisite stuff. And, you know, it doesn't cost much to do a load of laundry, wash up some old blankets that got thrown out because they had one ink stain on them. I'm saying ink because I'm being polite. Or because they had a little teeny tiny tear. Sew up the tear, wash up the blankets. You know the alleys where the homeless people hang out. Set a nice little stack of clean blankets out there for them. What's it going to kill you? You'll feel like $1 million. And it keeps the damn stuff out of the landfills so your grandkids don't have to deal with it. Do you hear where I'm going with this?
I'm a trash picker, too.
Right on.
Half of what's in my house right now is recovered material.
You got it.
I have an ambivalent relationship with these people who throw things out carelessly because although they freak me out and it upsets me, I live off of them.
I know. I'm always like, oh, my God, these people are so stupid. Isn't it wonderful?
Right. Well, thanks so much for doing what you're doing, and we all look forward to the day when we won't have to do this anymore, I think.
That's true. Well, thank you for being part of the solution instead of part of the problem, Freeman.
Yeah.
I appreciate you calling in. All right. The numbers here are 1-877-NOBODY-8. And if you're homeless, call 1-866-LEFT-OUT. I hear the rainbow connection in the background. That tells me we have about 3 minutes to bug out, which means everybody in here, you got about a minute and a half to talk. You can all talk at once or take your time.
I just want to say thank you to Don and Roe and thank you to Lee, and please help support your homeless, homosexual, gay, lesbian, whatever youth in your area. Support youth in transition. We need it to stay around. Thanks.
Right on.
This is Dominique, and I just want to say the power lies within yourself. So if you want to change, if you want to get out of it, only you can do it.
That's right. This is China. I say be true to yourself and be true to your higher power, and the world is your oyster. That's right.
And this is Quincy, and I'd like to say thank you to Diana for being such a sweet person and helping me when I needed that help. She's a sweet person. God bless you, Diane.
Dominic, thank you very much for taking time out of a very busy schedule to come here and be with us. And thank you all for having the courage to show up and have your voices heard.
Kicked Out Queers was a production of Riverstone Works and KUNM FM Albuquerque. Our co-hosts were Rogi Riverstone and Dominic Zura. Our panelists were Dominique Diamond, Janice, Quinn Williams, China, Scooby, and Ray. Thanks to the national producers of the Homelessness Marathon for making this program possible. Thanks to Youth in Transition Shelter and Healthcare for the Homeless for their participation. Engineering provided by Ethan Stein and Tristan Klum. Production advisors, Paul Ingalls and Rachel Cobb. Our production assistants were Alan Liddell, Stu, and Joey. Our videographers from New Mexico Indie Media were Marcos Ramirez and Jerome Chavez. Catering provided by Blue Dragon Cafe. Donations provided by A1 Linen Service, Dr. Dan's Computer Repair, Wild Oats Markets, and Martha's Body Bueno. Additional equipment for this broadcast was on loan from KANW-FM Albuquerque. For links to resources for homeless queers, please visit rriverstone.com. This has been a production of KUNM. Visit us at kunm.org.
And from all of us here in Albuquerque, thank you and good night.
That's it. They're out.
You are listening to the 8th Annual Homelessness Marathon, produced in conjunction with WPKN Community Radio in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The opinions expressed on this broadcast are not necessarily those of the producing or participating organizations or of the originating or affiliated radio stations. To view the webcast of this broadcast, order tapes, or contact Nobody after the show, go to www.homelessnessmarathon.org.